Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome into the house of the Lord again tonight. God is so good and faithful, and we're going to continue our study tonight. My neighbor Susan asked if we would pray for her because she has constant migraines. She's had them since her accident several years, and she really does need prayer that this would be resolved and so many more. But God is so faithful and so good, and we're going to continue our study tonight on the patriarchs Jacob and Esau's reunion. And this is one of my favorite parts of this story. And I have to tell you, within the past couple of days, my heart totally changed about this whole story. And the star of our story tonight is going to wind up being Esau, and I'm going to tell you why my heart has so changed toward Esau and how much I love him. You know, in the Bible, there is a place that says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. But the word hate we talked about before is not the same as our word hate. It more has a connotation of someone being hurt or wounded. So what God may have been saying at that point is, Jacob, I have chosen and I have a work for him to do, but Esau, I've been hurt by. And here's the thing, Esau had at one point in one time disrespected the birthright, the blessing of God. And we've all done that and been in his shoes before. But tonight we're going to talk about the reunion. We're going to do a little bit of review. And we talked last week how Jacob was still with the deceitful, living with the deceitful Uncle Laban, and becoming more increasingly dissatisfied with where he was at. And he had decided that enough was enough, and he decides that he's going to leave. But Laban doesn't like that and proceeds to talk him into staying a little longer. But the interesting thing is, and he did, and then God supernaturally increased Jacob's flocks, and Laban's sons didn't like that, so that now there becomes more contention in this situation. It's not just between Jacob and Laban, it is now between his sons also. There's more people involved in this situation. And but we know why Laban, again, Laban is so deceitful and so cunning. He wanted him to stay, not because he wanted him to stay. Have you ever had that in your life? He wanted you to stay, but for the wrong reason, his motive was selfish, as always, and deceitful, as always, because the Bible says he told him, Laban actually told him, and we have that recorded in God's word, that the Lord has blessed me because of you. So I want you to stay because I want the Lord's blessing through you. I want to be around you because I see you're blessed of the Lord, you know, and that is deceit. So he decides that he is going to go, but he decides to stay for a little while. He does, and then things don't work out, of course, when you're staying for the wrong reason. And the Lord comes and speaks to Jacob and actually tells him it's time to go. It's time to leave. You need to go. And God tells Jacob two things, not just it's time to go, but I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be with you, which reminds me of Exodus 33:15, where Moses tells the Lord, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. And so God is telling Jacob, you are free to go now, and I will be with you. So Jacob meets with his wives, and they agree that their father is deceitful and awful, and that they also want to leave. And I said there were two things that were recorded in God's word that were very sad about these two young girls. One was that there was no inheritance left in their father's house for them, and that they were treated like strangers in their father's house. And so what I want to say to that is that in your heavenly father's house, you will never be a stranger, and there will always be an inheritance for you in your father's house, those two things. So that's a word of comfort to us tonight, that you won't ever be a stranger in the father's house, and there's always an inheritance in the father's house because Jesus is our inheritance. The reason there was no inheritance left in their father's house was because Laban was a thief. He was a thief and selfish. And so Jacob leaves without telling Laban, who I told you represents the devil. He represents the devil in our lives. So Laban decides to leave without notifying him. You don't have to notify the devil of your plans. In fact, don't do that. Don't disclose your plans to the enemy. Just do what you need to do, what God has told you to do, and that's enough. That's enough. And because Uncle Laban is a thief, and the first thing the Bible tells us in the Bible about the devil is he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And by the way, those are in order. The first thing you'll see when someone is operating, and they're operating under the influence of the devil, is they're willing to take. They're a taker. They're not willing to. And his intent is to steal, kill, and eventually destroy you. To kill you is one thing, but to destroy something is to make it look as if you never even existed. There's no legacy for you. There's no mention of you. He wants to destroy you. Destroy what? You, your reputation, everything in your life. And so these are in order. But I like that Jacob decided to leave, and he actually carried through with his plan. Because remember, the first time he decided to leave, and he was able to, the devil being a smooth talker, talk him out of it, basically. And so, but you can't stop the blessing of the Lord on someone's life, even though Laban talked him into staying under false pretenses. Jacob got more blessed than he ever had been, because you can't stop, the enemy can't stop God from blessing you, no matter where you're at or no matter who's doing what. And so he took his wives, and the Bible says he took his cattle, his goods, and all he had gotten in Padan Aram, and left to go home to Isaac, his father, in the land of Canaan. There's a reason the Bible tells us that these were his goods that he had gotten. It's because later on Laban's going to claim that Jacob had stole them, and had he even accused Jacob of taking his daughters by the sword, because the devil is a liar. He is an absolute liar. And the truth is, Jacob had worked for Laban. He earned everything that he had when he was there. But I want to tell you, it was actually God. Every blessing comes from God. Your blessings and mine all come from God. I made a statement during our sermon yesterday. I said this: you came into this world with absolutely nothing, and yet you go to your cabinets and they are full. You go to your closets and they are full. You go to your pantry. You look at your home, your house, your garage, and we are overflowing with blessings so much that the blessing becomes a distraction, and has become a distraction for people. They're teaching classes on decluttering now because they say it causes anxiety. But nonetheless, we have more than enough, and we're overflowing. So the blessings all come from God, since we came here with nothing. And when Laban was chasing after Jacob, before he got to him, we know, we talked about this last week briefly, I'll be brief, that God came to Laban in a night and warned him not to harm Jacob or talk against him. And the thing is, Laban doesn't serve God, but God is a sovereign God, and he is the ultimate authority over all, and he can say anything he wants to whomever he wants. He can come in, and a lot of times that's God's mercy. It was God's mercy to Laban. It really was. But I can prove to you, again, from modern day, that God can speak to even unbelievers. How many of you have heard stories about Muslim people who have had angelic visitations, and even Jesus Christ himself would appear to them and tell them about the cross and about the gospel message? And they would. I read a story about a young girl who had a vision of Jesus in her house in a Muslim country. She was a young girl, and he told her everything, and she went to the bathtub and baptized herself. God can talk to whoever he wants, believer or non-believer. It is his mercy and his great love. He will do anything to reach us, anything, if we need a message, including come himself, and I like that. Laban accuses Jacob of stealing, but he did not steal anything, but his wife Rachel had stolen the family idols, and Jacob told Laban to look for them. He did. He didn't find them. That was God's mercy. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and Laban and Jacob agree to part ways. And I want to say this: you have the right to leave your Laban. You have the right. I'm not talking about discarding relationships that are sincere and genuine and are of God. I'm talking about wicked and ungodly relationships. You have the right to leave because God gave us an abundant life. So we're in chapter 32 where Jacob is now ready to meet his estranged brother Esau. And I know that each and every one of you probably have someone in your life that you are estranged from. And that was Jacob's intention. He wanted to see Esau again. He's a different man now. However, the last he heard, Esau wanted to kill him, and Jacob is very fearful, as any of us would be, because he had harmed and stolen from Esau. Ironically, he was accused by Laban. He had stolen nothing from Laban, but he had definitely stolen from his brother Esau. So he sends messengers to tell Esau. He has stayed away a long time, and he's got all these oxen and asses and maidservants and women servants, male servants and female servants. And tell Esau that I need grace. I need you to extend grace to me. That's what he's hoping for. And basically the message was, I want to see you and I'm going to need grace. The messengers return and say, surprise, surprise, surprise. Esau's coming. He's heading your way. He has 400 men. They didn't say whether they're wearing party hats and they have balloons and a cake, or whether they have weapons and they're going to kill them all, him, his family, and all. The reason we know the messengers did not know the purpose of the 400 men is, one, they did not say anything about it, and two, the next verse tells us how very afraid Jacob is after his men meet his men. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people that were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two separate groups and said, if Esau comes to the one group and kills them, then the other company which is left shall escape. Personally, I would have hoped I was in group number two that could be the escape people. Basically, some people may die and some may live. We just don't know what's going to happen here because I'm about to meet Esau. What a terrible position to be in. And maybe, I just want to throw this out there because it doesn't say the word, but maybe Esau really was intending to harm him. We do not have that information. But at some point, I'm saying at some point, we know this much for a fact, and maybe it's as he got closer and closer, God had worked on Esau's heart, and he too had a heart change. You know, God works on all of us. He's working on Esau at the same time he's working on Jacob. Here is Jacob now, and Jacob decides to pray about the situation. Great idea. And it's a very beautiful and a heartfelt prayer, and I'm going to read it to you. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord who talked to me and said to me, return to your country, to your family, and I will deal well with you. It will be okay. I am not worthy of the least of your mercies, right, Jacob, and of all the truth, none of us are, that you have revealed to me, your servant, for with this staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I have become two bands. He's holding the same staff that he did when he crossed over. And Jacob's telling God, it is so amazing we see the change in him. He's basically saying, you told me, Lord, that I could go home to my family. You told me that it would be okay and you would deal well with me. I know I'm not worthy. You know I'm not worthy. Not even a little bit. Not even for a little bit of mercy. Not even a little bit of the truth that you showed me. I love that part. And he said, and I remember, Lord, how good you've been, that I crossed over this Jordan, and now I've become this two big, large groups. And he's acknowledging everything that God has done in his life up until now, and that he's not deserving of any of it. And that's what we should be. You know, I'm not deserving of any of this, but I still have your mercy, God. And he continues, he says, deliver me, I pray. Save me from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him lest he will come and kill me and the mother with children. And you said, I will surely do you good and make your seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So Jacob spent the night and he made a decision not to just send messengers this time, but to send messengers with gifts for Esau. Now, here's the reason I believe that this was a God-ordained thing for him, not to just send messengers. Don't just go and ask for grace and say, see all this stuff that God has blessed me with while I was away from you. But this time he's going to send gifts for Esau. And I believe that this is a God thing because here's the situation. Jacob had stolen from Esau. He had stolen so much from Esau. And God would be pleased that whenever possible, if that was us, that if you robbed a bank, that you would make restitution. This was the right, just the right thing to do. So he sent a whole ton of animals and gifts, and he gave them to his servants to give to Esau. So let's read it. 17. He said, when Esau asks you, what are these and whose are these? Here is what you say to Esau. Then you shall say, they be thy servant Jacob's. They are a present sent to you, my lord Esau, a term of endearment. And behold, also he is behind us. These are gifts for you from your brother Jacob. And he's not just sending gifts, expensive gifts. He himself is coming to see you. I think that is wonderful. You don't just send someone a gift and say it's going to be okay. You're going to have to face them at some point. And the servants were to say, Jacob is sending these to appease you as a peace offering. The present goes ahead, and later I will see his face, Jacob says, and maybe he will accept me. He wants him to receive the gift, but the ultimate thing is, I hope he will accept me again. I'm his brother. He wants to see Esau. He wants things to be made right, and that should be all of our heart whenever possible, especially if we are the person who has hurt someone. Verse 21, So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up and took his two wives, and his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok, and he took them and sent them over the brook, sent over all that he had. And then he was by himself, but not really. He was by himself, but not really. Jacob was still not ready to meet Esau. Before we can make things right with others, it is my belief we have to make things right with God. King David said it best, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Our sin is not really always against another person. They're affected. Our sin is a transgression of God's law. He did not mean he had only done God wrong, but ultimately it is against God's law. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Have you ever had a night when you could not sleep because of something you had done and needed to just get right with God? That was Jacob. Maybe you can relate. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that he could not win him, he touched the hollow of the thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, God, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Here's the situation. God is always holding on to us. But what we see here is Jacob is now holding on to God. There's a difference. It needs to be both ways. God, I know you're holding me up, but I'm holding on to you. I'm not going to let you go. I need you to bless me. Jacob was desperate for God to bless him because he finally realized his great need for God. But it took him facing death. It took him facing possible consequences. And sometimes that's what it takes for us to realize, I need God, I need his help, I need his salvation and his deliverance. If I have help, it's going to come from the Lord. No one else can help me. And so the man, who we know is God, said to him, what is your name? We all know that God knows his name. The reason he asked Jacob this was not to know his name, but it was about what his name meant. Remember, the name Jacob means supplanter and deceiver. He wants Jacob to acknowledge, I'm Jacob over here. I'm the deceiver. I'm the supplanter. And here's what God said. Jacob told him who he was. Now God's about to tell him who you really are. And here's what he said in 32:28. And he, God, said to Jacob, your name shall no longer be called Jacob. That's not who you are anymore. That is who you were, but it's not who you are anymore. But your name's going to be Israel, for as a prince has power with God and with men and has prevailed. You are, you know what the word prevailed means? Overcome. You are now an overcomer, Jacob. You've overcome that old man that you used to be. That's who you used to be. Here's the translation. I am changing your name. You're not the deceiver. You were, you're not. You're going to be called Israel. You're a prince. You have power with God. You're going to have authority with men. You are an overcomer. It's one thing for people to see the, and acknowledge that you have changed. Oh, that person is not the same anymore. But when God says, you're not the same anymore, I love this, that Jacob is now going to have a complete name change. He's not going to be known as that person anymore. And the Lord blessed Jacob. He had asked for the blessing, and the Lord blessed him. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face, and my life is saved. I love this because he had to make things right with God, and he did. And from that day on, Jacob walked with a limp. I remember the message that God gave me for Pastor Gill's funeral was because Pastor Gill always had the cane and walked with the limp. Never trust a man without a limp. If you haven't been through something, it validates your ministry, where I've came from. Sometimes we have scars in our life, scars that are obvious, scars that are hidden, but that means we've been through something. And so we have the ability to help other people who are going through something, if we've been through some things. And then we can continue on with God. And I love stories like this next one because, like I said, we all have someone who we are estranged from. And sometimes there's nothing we can do about that at the present moment except for pray. But if we desire reconciliation, that is the right thing because the ministry of Christ is the ministry of reconciliation. There is no doubt. And we're going to continue on real quickly here. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau. He saw Esau came, and with him 400 men. He divided the children unto Leah and Rachel and unto the two handmaids. He sent the handmaids and their children first, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph last. And he passed over ahead of them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. He is showing honor to his brother, the one whom he hurt. But my favorite part of this whole story, of this whole reunion, that just the other day when I was reading it, I was sitting at my desk and it, just tears started flowing. Verse 4 says, and Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and he wept. Esau, the one who was hurt, the one who was stolen from, the one who lost it all, the one who begged his dad, isn't there anything for me? Isn't there one little blessing for me? Seemed like he had lost everything in life, and here he is. He's the one running. No, I want to see you. I know you stole from me. I know you did me wrong. He knew everything. There comes a time in life when you realize how many families fight over money. I see it at funerals, all kinds of things. Fight over money. There needs to come a time in all of our lives when we realize there's no amount of money that you can pay for a relationship. And I believe that Esau is the one who's like, I don't really care about that stuff like I used to anymore. I've matured. I realize I didn't just lose stuff. I lost you. I lost you, Jacob. We lost each other. And it just was such a blessing that he would run to Jacob. And I think we need to realize with the family of God that, you know, we can get in tiffs and things. Sometimes we need to let that go. The one who hurts needs to forgive. The one who has hurt somebody needs to go to that person and offer to make restitution, to do things the right way, to change the relationship. And so what happened next was, and this is, I'm getting ready to close so our musicians can come. What happened next was Esau, when he was offered the present, he's like, no, no, I don't need this. I don't need this. I have plenty, plenty, plenty. And some commentators give that a bad twist, like Esau's kind of trying to one-up him, like, you thought you stole from me. It's not that way at all. Esau's telling him, I don't need material things. I don't need the material things. But Jacob is doing the right thing. He's like, no, you need to take it. Now, let me tell you what was very interesting to me about this. As you study it and you look at the amount of what he gave him, to me, it just broke me. It's about two times the amount of what the birthright would have been. It's like Jacob needed to do that. He needed to do that. In other words, if I have robbed Janice and I've taken from her, I took $500 from her, and now I'm wanting to give her back, not $500. I need to prove to her, not just I'll give you back what was yours I took from you, but I'll take from myself to give to you. I'll give more than that. I'll give double that. And to me, that was so beautiful to me, that Esau had such a heart to forgive it all, and that Jacob had a heart to say, and I want to give it back. They came to this point, and I could so clearly see it, where neither one of them cared about things anymore. They didn't. Now, we know the story of Jacob and Esau, and we know that there are two nations. And we know that a lot of times those kind of things still happen with the two nations today. But it shouldn't be that way, and it doesn't have to be that way. What if we all felt that way? You hurt me? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. I'm going to run to you if you need me. I don't care how bad you hurt me, Janice. I'm going to run to you if you need me. I will run to you. You will run to me. That's how it's got to be in life, right? And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make it right. If I have to give you double, triple, whatever, I'm willing. And so many people are not willing to do that. I talked about that in my book, The Wounded and the Wounder, that you don't just go to somebody and say, hey, I'm sorry, I took that. You know, I remember there was I had a story, we were working at the homeless in our church years and years ago, and our brother of one of our members one night had asked me to borrow $20, which of course, I'm like, here. I never seen him for like 12 years. He just quit coming. And one day he came to church, and he came to me and he said, I could never show my face here. Because I basically took your $20. And I said, oh my goodness, you should have said something. I would have given you that and then some. That's no reason. It's about relationship. And that's what God wants from us. May there never be anything between us and God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.